Welcome to my presentation on GNU Taler is Life. What does that mean? I want to start with a little bit of a look into the past. So when we started the project, there were a couple of things in the news that some of you might have long forgotten about. We had just received some nice documents from Edward Snowden about mass surveillance on the internet, including mass surveillance of things like the SWIFT network for payment services. And people were going, oh, this is bad. We need to do something about it. You can all think of what you've done about it in the last 10 years. What we do know, of course, today, these days, we have things where this is no longer the problem we're fighting from the Americans, but where this is becoming a normal political demand in Switzerland. So great success there. In the meantime, of course, us starting to work on payments. There has been the rise of Bitcoin in electricity use, carbon footprint, water footprint, land footprint for data centers in the last decade. So great for the environment. And now where are we today? Well, these days AI has joined the club and has surpassed Bitcoin in its consumption of power, bandwidth, and land use. I'm actually starting to have to fight the AI bots as accessing our web servers at rates that are not sustainable because we are hosting a Git repository and they just want every diff nicely formatted, and this is completely crazy, the amount of traffic they're sending our way. So great progress in the last 10 years. Good news is there was actually a plan. So if you look at the various spy programs out there, Hacienda, for example, was a project where they were trying to find vulnerable services in all countries on the planet to hack them and use them as a jumping point to hack other systems to fool attribution. And we've had basically, against all of these programs, ideas of what we could do about it. So today I'm going to talk to you about GNU Taler. So what is GNU Taler? It's a free software payment system infrastructure project. So we're building not just the core payment system, but because it has to be integrated to be useful with lots of applications, there's of course the entire system around it that is needed to make it useful for society. There is a company behind it. I should say it's not the evil kind of company. We are really a free software business. We are advised by Richard Stallman. We are not doing open core. It is really everything free software. And the business model is also not to sell the software, but to sell support for banks, because banks will, for some strange reason, not run a core banking system saying, we found the source code on the internet, let's go. And so this actually is working as a business model. But more than the company, which is actually rather tiny, there is a much larger community, including many of you here, that wants to see GNU Taler deployed as widely as possible. Now, to begin with, I always to say, this is a payment system. It's not a currency. I am not trying to sell you yet another shitcoin. It's also not for your life savings. Put those into houses, into gold, into whatever you want. Maybe relationships could be a good thing too. But this is for your day-to-day payments, for buying food, buying medicine, buying public transportation, paying journalists. It's not supposed to be for savings. I should also explain it's not a network or an instance of a system in the sense of there's not like with Visa where you have this one provider or PayPal where there's this one provider. Instead, there can be many providers that are typically licensed operators, like a bank is licensed and regulated, and that's why you kind of trust them. They can be audited, of course, and there can be many of those. So we've had events like the Luke Camp or the Datenspuren use GNU Taler for payments at the event. We have a regional currency in Basel, Netzbon, that is operated by the system, and others. So that's why it's many instances. Well, think like web servers. You can have more than one. It's not decentralized because you have these identifiable operators, but it is decentralized in the sense of your money and your data is on your computer in self-custody and under your control, which also means your responsibility. So data is decentralized, just the operation of the payment system itself is not decentralized. And yes, no blockchain, no proof of work, no proof of stake, no worries on that. So when we built it, we started with a couple of design principles, and they are in order. So our first and most important one was we wanted to have it free software, so no hardware solution, first of all, only software and everything in the open, no business secrets, no, you know, the security depends on you not knowing how it works. The second goal was to protect the privacy of buyers. So when you spend your money, we do not want to know who of our customers is spending the money. We don't learn this. It's cryptographically made sure that we do not learn that from the payment process itself. Now, of course, if you go into a store and they recognize you by your face, you know, they might know who you are. And if you go to some e-commerce site and you're not going through some VPN or via Tor, they might see your IP address. But we as the payment system, in terms of our protocol, don't identify you. And we have no way to link this back to identity. Now, the third goal is we're going to say we don't want this to be used for criminal activities. So all income that anybody receives through the system should be visible to the payment service provider, who can, of course, disclose it to authorities on request. Might have to. So it's not useful if you want to sell illegal activities, if you abducted somebody's child, sawed off somebody's finger and tried to do extortion. They will know who is receiving the money. So, it's a payment system, so once we've achieved those, we also want to minimize fraud. And once there is no more problem with fraud, then we want to also, in all other aspects, do privacy by design, privacy by default. And then we want to be usable. Shocking, I know. We want to have actual users. And then efficient, have the transactions be fast, avoid single points of failure, and foster competition, which here means that different components of the system can be operated by different entities. They talk to each other via protocols. So, for example, the backend operated by merchants doesn't have to be operated by us. Can be operated by the merchant itself or by some service provider. A backup service for the wallets can be operated by somebody else. So all of these components can be run by different entities. High-level architecture, how does it work? Well, you start as a customer with a wallet, and you tell your bank that it should send money to the payment service provider, which could be a central bank if you have a CBDC or a payment service provider like a regulated bank, and they will then issue you digital coins. Here in this step, when we issue digital coins, we use something called blind signatures. It's a cryptographic technique. So we make sure that we do not learn which customer receives which coins. And a coin is basically a one-time use token signed by the exchange, and therefore it has value because you have that signature. But we do not know which coins we signed at this point. We just know how many, because we need to know how much money we gave you. So it matches how much money you gave us. And then you have these coins in your wallet. You can then spend them anonymously. So here, this is the step where you're not identified. Here, of course, we need to know who you are when you access your bank account. So here you have the privacy. The merchant receives the coins and has to clear them with the exchange to prevent double spending, because you could have made copies. It's free software, so of course you can make copies. Here is also the place where we always say, this is where microtransactions can happen. They are very fast and very cheap. So typically, you might withdraw, 100 euros here, or 100 Swiss francs in this case, and then here you can spend small amounts like cents, or fractions of cents even. Eventually, the merchant will receive the money in their bank account. Here we have an aggregation step built in so that multiple small transactions, like if you pay 5 cents, doing a wire transfer of 5 cents makes no sense, but maybe at the end of the day, you've received 1,000 transactions, we do one transfer over 50 Swiss francs. Now, so the bulk transfers here are typically then much larger. And of course, the merchant can then check that they got the money. So that's the high-level architecture. Yeah, so technical timeline, where are we? In 1988, long, long time ago, blind signatures were patented for privacy in payments. As a result, of course, 25 years, nothing happened, because it was patented. Once the patents expired, I told Florian Dold, hey, I like this, but we can't give change in that old solution. Surprisingly, he came back and said, no, now we can. And so we had to build it. Since then, we've added fun features like programmable money, where you can add age restrictions to the money and basically give it to a child, and then they can't buy the beer or the mate. And it has to be above 18 or something. We can do payments to offline merchants. We have now a design for doing donations and subscriptions and discount tokens in the design. And most recently, TU Eindhoven and Academica Sinica developed a variation of that protocol that will also work for post-quantum cryptography. So we are safe against quantum computers, not in the current implementation, but we know how we can get there, which is was not easy. Right? We knew about the, you know, we should do post-quantum for again a decade. So these things move sometimes at surprising things. So where are we today? We have the NGI Thaler pilot. That's an EU project running over 3 years. We're now at 18 months, so just in the middle, where basically we have three financial institutions, a couple of universities, and some SMEs and some nonprofits trying to get Thaler deployed across Europe. We had it deployed at the Berlin University of Applied Sciences here up the hill for a few years now as a very, very small pilot. We then deployed it in Basel at Netzborn. And as of May 10th this year, we have it operational for all of Switzerland. We are regulated. The supervision, FINMA supervises, VQF supervises us, that's details. But we are, as far as we know, legally operating in Switzerland with real Swiss francs now. Yes. Also very interesting, I have a signed contract from GLS Bank on my desk, signed by both sides, that they will go live with us. And this is on the operational deals that we will help them deploy it. It's actually already in internal testing at the bank. And so everybody expects this to go live in Germany in Q3. There's going to be some small restriction. GLS cannot advertise their service outside of Germany. But if customers come to them and give them, say them, hey, take my money, they're allowed to take money from any euro account. Now, merchants, again, they have to be in Germany because they have to do the KYC process there. But if you are a citizen wanting to use it with a German store, you can use GLS, just they can't advertise. We haven't exactly figured out the legal definition of they can't advertise, whether I can advertise. half a year or a bit longer later, we expect that Magnet Bank will also launch the payment system in Hungary, which is using the forint, for those of you who are not familiar with every country which currency they're using. Yeah, so operators, the main thing, you have these websites of each operator, and for the ones that are in operation, here's also the respective domain of the REST APIs. So now, what software exists? There's a lot of components we had to build. One first very interesting one is LibEufin Nexus. That is our component for talking to the existing banks. So when you do a wire transfer to us, we have to somehow learn that. And EBEX is a standardized protocol, which means it's different with every bank for receiving and executing financial transactions. And so we have it working with PostFinance and with GLS Bank. And we soon going to have it working with Raiffeisen as well, I believe. So this is how we talk to the bank. We also have LibEufin Bank if you want to do it for a new currency. So you want to set up your own currency, a club currency, then you would use this one to create bank accounts for people and can create your own money. And you can optionally hook it up to a fiat currency, possibly with conversion rates or not. Or you can just say, okay, it's our own closed loop system. And hopefully you have less regulatory trouble if you do that. So this is what is being used, for example, by Netzborn in Basel. Then we have the merchant backend that has a REST API, which allows you to set up orders, process payments, check your payment status, check settlement, and also do things like inventory and order management. This is where in the future you can have support for subscription discount tokens as well. So you can have, you know, buy 10 pizzas, get the 11th for free, and the coupons will also be stored in the Thaler wallet. That's the merchant backend. We have some existing payment plugins for Joomla, Magento, and WooCommerce e-commerce platforms. They probably could use some love. We have the Challenger component. That is used for address validation. So for example, when you do peer-to-peer transfers, we are only allowed to do this with people in Switzerland as a Swiss operator. Now, how does the in Switzerland mean? Well, FINMA has decided it's enough if people have a Swiss phone number. So well, how do we validate that you have a Swiss mobile phone number? Well, we send you an SMS with a PIN code. And then you type that PIN code in. That's Challenger. Now, it's a very general API. We can also send you physical mail, or we could send you an email. That's just, and it uses this via OAuth2. So if you have an application where, oh, I could use an OAuth2 validator for email addresses, well, Challenger doesn't care about the rest of Thaler. It just offers you that functionality. So you can use it for other things as well. Well, then we have the core payment system, which, you know, does the issuing of the coins, but also has the anti-money laundering and know your customer procedures and lots of these fun compliance features. We have wallets for Android, Chrome, Firefox. So these are web extensions, iOS, and of course, command line. So I think this is the first payment system you can literally shell into. I personally don't yet like the command interface. I think it's a bit difficult to use, but again, it's a starting point and you can certainly improve it. There are a few things that are licensed under LGPL, like when we do integrations with merchants, or of course, if we have something like the payment plugins, they're often licensed in whatever the umbrella free software project has. So I don't know if WooCommerce is whatever Apache licensed, and the plugin is of course also Apache licensed. The wallets are all GPL, and everything server-side is Affero GPL version 3 or later. So, and there's no hidden sauce anywhere. So, what can you do today? You can add a Talab provider to your wallet. So, step one, you've all, of course, installed your wallets on your devices. So, if you scan this QR code, you will add the Talab Operations AG provider for Switzerland. Then you can send us money via SEPA transfer. Now, I have some bad news here. Swiss banks are slow. As in, it takes 2 or 3 days for us to receive your wire transfer. And you're not going to see your digital money before then. Now, 2 or 3 days, well, if you're American, that sounds maybe fast. But at GLS Bank, we did tests with instant SEPA, and it takes 15 seconds. So talk to your regulator about improving Swiss bank performance. So that is just slow. And again, we can't do anything about it. It's not like we wouldn't want you to have the money instantly. Modulo bucks, you can deposit everything back into your bank account. It's a bit boring. And you can do peer-to-peer payments. Now, when you, for the first time, receive a peer-to-peer payment, you have to do the KYC process with the SMS. So if you don't have a Swiss phone number, you can't. And of course, you can already set up your own merchant e-commerce site to receive payments in any form you like. At this stage, I want to offer the first bribe. So here is my Talab wallet. I'm going to send to another wallet the first Swiss franc. Bribe. So, and who is fastest at scanning?
Go.
You need a Swiss phone number, otherwise it's going to be useless later. Okay, I hope what you saw is you have it in the browser. We can do, of course, the same thing from your smartphone, from browser to browser. If you have NFC on both devices via NFC, all of these things work nicely, I hope. Yeah, how can you help us? We have a mailing list you can subscribe to, it's not that much traffic on it. We have tutorials on the tutorials website. We have a discussion forum. You can report bugs if you have any. That's also helpful for us to learn that there are bugs. We have all of the source code in public Git repositories on git.tal.net. You can apply for funding. So in LNET is still running an open call for the next maybe yearish, where you can apply for funding between 50k and 5k euros. And it's a very short application process, 1,300 characters. Any cool idea of I want to do something with Talab where you can justify that this is worth the impact has a very good chance of getting funded. It's a very brief application. It should take about 2 months to get feedback. So it's also you don't have to wait a year for getting back. And you can actually get paid to work on it. Oh, but so please apply. Next deadline is it tomorrow or is it in a month? I don't remember.
Tomorrow.
Good. Just in time.
Yep. First of June.
Is it first of July? Anyway, it's every 2 months. So worst case, tomorrow. But it is something you can write in an hour. We also do not speak very good Retro-Romanisch. So if you speak interesting languages, you can help us translate and contact our translation volunteer for access to the weblate. We have documentation on all of the REST APIs and how to operate the system. Again, read the documentation. And if you have too much money, we also still take commercial investments. Or not enough money and you want to make more of it. What are we doing right now? We have to deal with what we call the crypto mass. It's the post-quantum design. Implementing that at the last minute and transitioning to it, there are still some things that do not work perfectly with the new one that are not necessarily customer-facing and therefore relevant for the first release, but we have to clean up some things still. There are compliance requirements we have to address for GLS Bank. Somehow, every new bank comes with new compliance requirements. We also have to work on the system administration, as I said, fighting the AIs. I would love to see a simple paywall that basically tells an AI, you want to access my Git, please pay in Thaler. And then we can set it to kudos or Swiss francs, it doesn't matter, 1 cent, you know, for the cookie that you have access, and the AIs will be out. Huh? And if they start paying me, that's also okay. Huh? So we really need this, so please submit an open core proposal on this and do it. We have ongoing external security audits. We had, for the various components, exchange, merchant, wallet, external security audits. The findings are in general public, often in the bug tracker. Most of them have been addressed, but there are these things, well, you could have more fine-grained permissions on this. You can never do everything immediately. But nothing was found that was really critical, even before our fixes. So all the findings were, in my view, somewhat minor. That was good news for me. We're working, of course, documentation, tutorials, specification design. We're adding strategic features like subscription and discounts. We have some things we have to do for the funding. It's also interesting, we have support for donations, which sounds like, well, of course, it's a payment system. I can, of course, donate. But the idea is that you get a receipt that you can give to a tax authority proving that you donated to a charity without disclosing to the tax authority with which charity you donated. And we want to get the tax authorities to accept those and to store these receipts in your wallet to make your tax filings very easy in the end. OIM is also a fun one that's about oral information management. We've been doing usability studies in Africa with people that are illiterate and enumerate and are trying to make a wallet work for those people. So closing the digital divide for those and actually helping them to understand numbers in the process. Yeah, and we have some coordination and outreach and administration work, so lots of fun. The larger community is working on improving peer-to-peer payments. So right now, the peer-to-peer payments, you can exchange the QR code or show the do an NFC tag, but we want you to also have in the wallet the ability to say, I want to pay to this email address, or pay to this phone number, or pay to this Mastodon account. And making that easy by looking up the respective target wallet address and sending that wallet a direct message. Backups from the wallets are possible, but a bit for the hardcore users right now. Have to set into developer mode and find the right settings, so doing that a bit more nicely is work in progress. Withdrawing money, right now you have to kind of manually do the wire transfer. We do have the Swiss QR codes, so you can have it if your bank supports that. Sometimes the problem is, I have the QR code on my phone and I have the banking app on my phone. How do I scan that? And the problem is that banks don't allow us to basically give that QR code information directly into the banking app. Sometimes saving it to a clipboard works, but it's not the best experience. In Europe, there is the PSD2, Payment Service Directive 2, which allows us to say, hey, you bank, transfer us money. Your customer tells you to do so. And then we can basically avoid having the user having to enter this. So using the PSD2 interface to make the withdrawal easier, again, will not work in Switzerland because Switzerland is not in the EU. Therefore, regulation like banks have to have an open interface do not apply here. You might want to talk to your regulator about it or parliament. We have some other fun features like accepting credit cards to withdraw e-cash or accepting physical cash, working on some more KYC processes internally. In the future, what do we want to see? I want to see us paying for online news, e-commerce. I want to make the AI bots really, really pay. You can, of course, also use it to pay the AI bots. I hear they're expensive to run, but you know, I mostly want to make them pay me. First of all, they receive $100 billion in funding. After all, why not? Should I get some cut? I would like to see some large merchants onboarded. They might need a bit more peer pressure here. Programmable payments. So we have ideas for example, private servicing auctions with it. If you have ideas for IoT payments, machine-to-machine payments, this works for them because you know your machine can typically not pass a two-factor authentication very well. But since it's in self-custody, it works. So traditional payments don't work well for IoT. These will. And integrating with messaging applications so that if you get spam, people have to first attach a payment before you read it is another good idea. Again, if you have other ideas, please propose. We need really cool projects to fund. Yeah, in general, we can use everybody's help. Here is a long list of bugs that are nice entry-level things to do. Starts with some self-provisioning for merchants, improves some systemd things, various usability problems, backend issues, onboarding fun, regional currency user experience, web extension user experience. So if you are looking for things where you could contribute yourself, you know, start with the first bugs in each of these lists, and you might find, oh, this is easy, I can do this, and then you have your first contribution. Well, so I picked these out of the bug tracker to kind of see, okay, which ones are good entry-level candidates. And of course, in general, if you see a bug, file a bug, it's always good to know that if we have some problems that we're not aware of. Okay, thank you. I'm happy to take questions. It's a meta question.
All right. So, yeah, my question would have been regarding the exchanges. What I didn't see from the various communication, are there plans or ideas to have the exchanges interconnected? Or is it currently that when I'm onboarded with one operator, like, if I do a transaction, if I would have been onboarded by two operators and do a transaction, do I need to choose over which operator it will go through? Or are there plans, or is there already something in place for basically for the exchanges to have a one single book or sync their books, so to speak?
The correct answer is it's complicated, and the in general answer is yes. So there are cases where you don't have to care. So, for example, if a merchant can say, I'm accepting Swiss francs from two operators, and then your wallet will just tell you, you know, Swiss francs are Swiss francs, and even if you do not have enough money from one operator, it can just pay with both operators' money, and the merchant will get two wire transfers in the end from the two operators for the overall total amount. So spending at a merchant, you don't care as long as the merchant is happy with both of these operators. For peer-to-peer transfers, right now, you have to care. Also, the onboarding has to be basically done at the receiving or at the receiving end because that operator is responsible for doing so. There are plans to federate these so that they can have a business relationship and saying, look, you did the onboarding at first operator, but now you're supposed to interact with the second operator. Can we do some data sharing? Can we do some liability sharing between the operators? That's envisioned. There are some designs. There are actually some tables in the database. But there's no actual implementation of that feature yet. So for peer-to-peer transfers, it is segregated.
Thanks a lot.
And while we're at it, we put out a lot of stickers and brochures in various languages for merchants, for customers, and stickers. I don't want to take any of those home. Please help me distribute and onboard Switzerland.
So I had a question regarding the backup process and obviously the double spending prevention. So clearly it is a solved problem as you described. So I have my wallet, I have some thalers in them. I take a backup of that. I spend some of the thalers with the merchant. The merchant can validate that these thalers are not double spent. No problem at all. Now, unfortunately, something bad happens to my wallet, but that's not really a problem either because I restore that from backup. But now I have some thaler in there that I don't know have already been spent. Mm-hmm. Is there a mechanism in there already that I can double check if some of my thalers in my wallet have been spent? Okay.
Yes. Well, you personally not so much at this point. Basically, what happens if you try to spend your money a second time, mm-hmm. you will get a cryptographic proof from the exchange that you spend it somewhere else. As in, hey, you signed this other transaction with your money already where only you have the private key.
Right.
And then your wallet goes and says, oh, I guess I already double spend it, doesn't show you an error message and reduces your balance accordingly and will retry with not double spend coins if there's any left.
Right.
So it's not like you personally can say, you know, check now. We could in principle do this where we go over all the coins and check. It's not a feature that's exposed at this point. Mm-hmm. But the protocol would allow a wallet to check has any of my coins been double spent already. But the good news is you are receiving a cryptographic proof of double spending. So and as long as you trust your wallet, you can be sure that it's not just the exchange claiming that you double spend.
Yeah.
There's a proof in the form of a signature from your money.
Yeah. So it would just be a little bit inconvenient that my wallet shows me a number that actually is not true anymore, but that's just because I have restored the backup.
But that's the current developer mode restore. Once we have the proper restore, we will be able to basically lower the balance to the correct one by checking for double spending at that time. Okay. Well, I'm here for the rest of the time. Happy to talk to you in person.